Merry Christmas. Oh, I am loud. Woo. There we go. Merry Christmas, Northgate. Let me ask to turn, if you would turn to the passage we actually just heard, Luke chapter 2 this morning, because we are firmly in the 10 sleeps left until Christmas category. And when it comes to Christmas passages in the Bible, one that I think most people probably think of is the passage that you just heard. It captures and shapes much of our understanding of what happened that day. It's a passage that, you know, it's depicted on the pictures of Christmas cards. And I mean, you just think about all of the hymns that mention this event. Hark the herald angels sing, First Noel, while shepherds watch their flocks at night, angels you've heard of high. Because we are going to talk about the angels appearing before the shepherds this morning. And you've already heard this passage once. You're going to hear it again, found in Luke 2. We're going to be looking at verses 8 to 18 this morning. And I'll read it again. It says, in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger. Suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known that the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them. Let's pray. Father God, just, Lord, as we come to once again to open your word, to hear these words that are, to many of us, so familiar about Christ coming to earth, we recognize that, Lord, he has come and he is still here, that he is still alive, he is still with us, he is still our Savior, he is still Christ the Lord. And, Lord, we just welcome you into our time this morning as we reflect on the story of Jesus' birth. I pray that our hearts and our minds would just be mindful in this moment. That you would focus us on the truth of Christmas. Because, Lord, this time of year can be hectic, it can be busy, it can be even stressful. But, Lord, we don't want to lose the purpose of Christmas in the midst of all of the busyness of Christmas. So, Lord, just give us this time right now to reflect on you. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to cough, so I'm going to turn off my mic for a second. Thank you. Oh, boy. Hopefully the rest goes better. All right, so we're going to talk about shepherds this morning. We talked about wise men last time we were together, so it's only fitting we talk about the shepherds. And you know, unlike those wise men we talked about a few weeks ago, wise men always, there's this mystery about them. We don't know where they came from or how many. And you know, unlike that, we kind of get the shepherds. You know, shepherds, they're just probably a bunch of guys stuck at a dead-end job who knew life could be hard and even cruel at times, and they went out day after day, night after night, working long hours just to meet, you know, make ends meet. We get that. In fact, a survey was done not too long ago that revealed nearly a third of those questions stated that of all the people mentioned in the Christmas story, they identified the most with the shepherds. I think they're the most like us. of all the people in the Christmas story, we get them. So this morning, we're going to ask the same question we asked about the wise men a few weeks ago. And the question is, when the events of Christmas happened to the shepherds, what exactly in that moment did they think that God was doing? And what understanding did they really have about the Savior who had come? What insight did they gain about the gospel? Because, you know, I'm sure when they saw that baby in a manger that they'd been told about by this heavenly host of angels, they knew he was going to do something great. But they probably had no idea that Jesus would grow up and have the ministry he had or even make the sacrifice that he did. And yet, even from, you know, what we see in this passage alone, there are a few things that I think the shepherds probably clearly understood about what God was up to that night. There are some things about the shepherd or the angel's message the shepherds heard loud and clear. And that's going to be our topic of conversation this morning. This is really the gospel according to the shepherds that night. And right from the moment the angels appeared to them in the sky, I think that first and foremost, the shepherds understood that there was going to be no barriers to God's grace. Because the gospel is going to be good news to everyone. Because we're told, verse 8, in the same region there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flocks by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. But the angel said to them, "Fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people." And I want you to kind of put yourself in the shepherd's place there just for a moment. You know, one moment you're at your job, you're working hard, you're tending your sheep, you're minding your own business, just like you do every other day, every other night. You've done it for how many more years? It's probably, by this time, pretty dull work. And then suddenly one night, angels, like not just one angel, like multitude of angels, the heavenly chorus, the host of heaven show up praising God. And when the angels proclaim those words that the shepherds heard, the message, good news of great joy for all people, I'm sure that at least part of the shepherds thought to themselves, are you sure you're talking to the right people? Like, are you sure you didn't get the wrong number? Because this is like 886, not 88. Like, because if this message is not going to every other person on earth at the same time, you're probably talking to the wrong people. I mean, isn't there a king or a prophet or a newspaper reporter or something that you should be talking to with this message first? Because can you just imagine that you're at work, doing your job, middle of the day, and your phone just rings completely out of the blue, and you talk, hello? And it's some government official, and he's like, here is some life-changing news for every person on the planet, and I'm telling you, and only you. Part of you would think, why are you calling me? Who am I? I mean, I don't even know how to put this on Facebook. I'm a nobody. And you know what? In the culture of that time, shepherds really were nobodies. In fact, they were sometimes seen as worse than nobodies. Shepherds were kind of looked upon as the lowest of the low, the job nobody else wanted to do. It was not a prestigious occupation. Shepherding was more like the last job left for those who had nowhere else to go. In many places, shepherds could not even legally testify in a court of law because they were considered just so unreliable. I mean, they had no standing in their culture. They were thought of as uneducated, undesirable, and unwanted by their society. So these shepherds that we hear about this first Christmas, they weren't extraordinary. Or people of great importance, or people, you know, of status, or people of rank and privilege. And yet they were the ones God invited to see the birth of the King of Kings. They were the ones who first got to hear the news that was going to be great joy for all people. And you know, that I think would have been surprising to a lot of people back then, that it was for all people, because I think everyone kind of assumed that the promise that God made to send a Savior was probably going to be something that was kind of a Jewish exclusive. Like, Gentiles need not apply. You can watch, but you can't play. Because Jesus was born at a time when culturally, people who were different didn't associate with others. Jews didn't hang out with Gentiles. The rich didn't hang out with the poor. Slaves didn't fellowship with their masters. Men set themselves apart from the women. The self-righteous excluded themselves from the presence of sinners. The healthy barred themselves from the sick, and nobody was a guest of a tax collector. And yet, when you read through the Gospels, what's interesting is you see Jesus rubbing shoulders with all of those people and more. Lepers, prostitutes, Samaritans, tax collectors, criminals, the poor, even Gentiles. Jesus welcomed them all. Because that's why he came. He was a Savior for all people. And I think that's why God announced this news to the shepherds. Because the message that God was sending, that he wanted people to understand, is this: if Jesus was willing and eager to welcome a shepherd, he was willing to welcome anybody. No one was going to be excluded from this news. No one was left on the outside. From the greatest to the least, from the richest to the poor, there would be no one that Jesus wouldn't be willing to reach. I actually like the words of Max Lucado. He writes on this topic. He says this: there's not even a hint of one person who is afraid to draw near to Jesus. There were those who mocked him. There were those who were envious of him. There were those who misunderstood him. There were those who revered him. But there was not one person who considered him too holy or too divine or too celestial to touch. There's not one person who is reluctant to approach Jesus for fear of being rejected. Because the gospel is good news for all people. And there are no barriers to the grace of God. And that grace of God, that first Christmas, was delivered in a most unexpected way. Because here's the next lesson I think that shepherds understood about the gospel. And that it would come from a most unexpected Savior. Because look at what else the angels had to say, beginning of verse 11. They said, "For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord, and this will be a sign to you. You'll find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloth and lying in a manger." Now, when I say unexpected, understand, the Jewish people had been waiting for a Savior. Yeah, that part was expected. They were expecting the Christ to come. But when he finally did, I don't think any of them were expecting what happened that first Christmas morning. Because I'll be the first one. Babies are awesome. Let's get that out of the way. I mean, nothing's more excited than the birth of a baby. Is there anything better than, you know, holding that new baby in your hands? And, you know, just, it brings such joy and the happiness. The birth of a child, it's a great thing. And yet, I know looking back on my life, I had four kids. At no time when I was holding one of my newborn babies did I think, now that you're here, my problems are over. Like, no, that didn't happen. And you know what? Neither did Israel. Like, because Israel was waiting for their Savior. They were waiting for the one who would solve their problems. But what they were expecting was a warrior. They were expecting a mighty general. They were expecting a powerful earthly king who could conquer his enemies and bring them under his feet and establish his earthly kingdom where he could rule. And babies can't lead armies. And they can't run for political office. And they can't manage the economy. They can't really do anything useful at all. And yet, God sent his Messiah, the hope of all humanity, into the world in the form of a child. And he was a child not born to a king or a queen, but to a lowly carpenter and a peasant girl. And he was born not into wealth, but into poverty, born not in a castle or a mansion, but in a barn. And that must have thrown a few people off, because when you hear that, you realize this Savior would do things and accomplish God's purposes in ways people never saw coming. In fact, have you ever sort of had a gift you wanted to give someone, but you wanted to make it a real surprise, so you wrapped it in something that was very differently shaped than what you actually bought, like putting a gift card inside a box for a TV or something, right? So people who are getting the gift, they can't guess what's inside until they actually opened it. Well, that I get that picture of that. That's what God did for us at Christmas as well. Who would have expected this baby born in such a way to be the Savior? In fact, one of the reasons so many people overlook Jesus as the Messiah was because he was so different from what they were expecting. And you know, if you were there that night and you were sitting around the manger with that little baby and all the other animals, and people told you, one day the entire world is going to celebrate this moment, you think, you're crazy. You're a crazy person. There's nothing about this that screams celebration. But Christmas was never about what we think God should have done to send us a Savior. It was about God's plan unfolding just the way that he intended it. It's not about our expectations. It's about what God delivered. And it was never Jesus' intention to live in an ivory tower. He wasn't born to sit on a throne in a palace. He went from sitting at the right hand of the throne of God in glory to lying in a manger inside a barn full of manure. Because the miracle of Christmas is not that it was such a spectacular event. The miracle of Christmas is that Christ came down in the first place. That he humbled himself and took on flesh and became a man. And he lived his life where he would know all of the same sorrows. He would share in all the pains of life. He would experience all the sufferings of living in this fallen world, and yet was without sin. And he would die upon the cross to carry upon himself the sins of the world. And that baby that God sent in that manger was nothing like the Savior they were expecting, but he was exactly the Savior the world needed. I always read this poem every year at Christmas. It's one of my favorites. But the words say, if our greatest need had been for information, God would have sent us an educator. If our greatest need had been for technology, God would have sent us a scientist. If our greatest need was money, God would have sent us an economist. If our greatest need had been pleasure, God would have sent us an entertainer. But our greatest need was for forgiveness, so God sent us a Savior. And that's where our passage continues in verse 13, where it says, and suddenly there was with the angels a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. And here's another lesson I think the shepherds understood and that they teach us about the gospel, that it has a purpose. Christmas had a purpose, two purposes, in fact. Because Christmas was to glorify God and to bring peace to mankind. And understand, those two purposes are inseparable. They're two sides of the same coin. You don't have one without the other. Because Christmas is first and foremost about God getting the glory. It's about worship. It's about the greatness of God and all that he is doing. Because you know what? There's nothing about Christmas that we can give credit for to anyone else except God and God alone. God was the one who promised it. God was the one who planned it. And God was the one who provided it. And there was no outside help or assistance required. So Christmas, it's a testimony. It is a testimony to who God is, his character and his nature. It's a testimony to what God has done for us by sending us a Savior. And it's a testimony to his great faithfulness, because Christmas was a promise that God made, and it was a promise that God kept. Because, you know, the birth of Christ, it wasn't an accident. It wasn't an unexpected or unplanned event. You know, Christmas was not something God threw together at the last minute, like, you know, God's hanging out with the angels one day. He says, oh, it's time for Jesus to be born. We should go get him a hotel room somewhere. And the angels are like, no, there's no room left at the inn. And God's like, oh, well, quick, find a stable somewhere. So we'll improvise. Okay, that didn't happen. God had been planning for this moment for a long time. And the first Christmas happened exactly the way that God planned it, right down to the last detail. Because you know what? Even before the first drop of rain hit the ark, even before Moses led the people out of Egypt, even before Babylon and Persia began their reign, even before the Roman Empire came to power, God was already at work guiding the world to this place for the Savior to come. In fact, 1 Peter 1 verse 20 tells us that Jesus was chosen before the creation of the world. God was planning Christmas even before he separated light from the darkness. And for thousands upon thousands upon thousands of years, he guided every step, watching, waiting, planning, shaping all of history. And as kingdoms came and kingdoms went and nations conquered nations and empires rose and empires fell, the hand of God never strayed from his ultimate purpose to deliver us a Savior. And there was nothing within humanity, within us, that made us worthy of that Savior. Nothing that made us deserving of this gift. Nothing that we did to work for it or earn for it. It was strictly given to us because of the goodness and the grace of God alone. Paul writes in Ephesians 2, "But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. And raised up with him and he seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show us the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of your own doing. It is the gift of God. Not a result of works, so that no one may boast." Christmas is about God. It's about his goodness and his greatness and his grace delivered to us. And it's about God's glory. And yet, it is also our great joy to know that we are the beneficiaries of God's grace. This is the other side of the coin. God gets the glory for Christmas and all that he planned to do. And yet, because of all that he did, it leads men to peace. Because God, in glorifying himself through through Christmas and all that happened, he opened the door to our salvation. He opened the door by glorifying himself in Christ Jesus to the possibility of having true peace with God through Jesus Christ. And Paul, just as he told us in that Ephesians passage, he tells us we were dead in our trespasses because the wages of sin is death, and we were under God's wrath and we were slaves to sin. But that's what Jesus did on the cross on our behalf. He paid our debt. He set us free. He took our place and he brought us peace. In fact, Isaiah 53 verses 4 and 5 says, "Surely he took up our pain and he bore our suffering, yet we considered him punished by God, stricken by him and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. And the punishment that brought us peace was upon him." And that was the purpose of Christmas. It was to glorify God and to bring us peace through Jesus. Which leaves us with just one more lesson that the shepherds, I think, can teach us about Christmas and the gospel. And that is, when you hear the news, a response is required. Because reading again in verse 15, "When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us.' And they went with haste, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told to them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds had told them." And I love this part of the story. It's sometimes overlooked, but when the shepherds heard the message that the angels proclaimed, they got up and went and found their Savior. They didn't ignore the news. They didn't just put, like, "meet the Savior, head to Bethlehem," on their to-do list for some time later when life was going to slow down for them. No, we see the shepherds responding to the truth. And the same should be true for us. Because you know what? The message of Christmas deserves a response. Because Christmas is not just to be a holiday we celebrate once a year. It's not just a date on the calendar. Christmas should be a reality in our hearts every moment of every day of our lives. And maybe you're going through a hard time right now. Christmas season can be tough, even tougher than normal. You're not sure how you're going to go through it. Maybe you're discouraged. Maybe you're disappointed. Maybe just the trials and concerns of life are just piling up all around you. Maybe you're fearful. Maybe you're hurting. Maybe you've suffered loss. Well, the good news of Christmas is that Christ was willing to enter into our world and to enter into our loneliness and our fears and our failures and our sorrows and into our lives to be our Savior. That's why he came. And he came for those who needed him the most. He came for us. And he came for you. You know, I said last week at the Christmas banquet, but listen again to the words of the angel, just how personal they are. When they say, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. Today in the city of David, a Savior has been born to you. This will be a sign to you that you will find a baby wrapped in cloth and lying in a manger. The angel's message with this is your Savior. He's your King. He's your Christ. He is your gift. Straight from God, just for you. Jesus Christ was born in a manger to die on a cross so that you might find forgiveness from the sins of your past and strength for the present and hope for eternity. Jesus came that we all might have life, but personalize it, that you might have life and have it in abundance. He offers that to all of us. He offers it to you. So I think we all need to decide what place Jesus is going to have in our lives. We all have to make that decision and decide if we will receive him for the reason that he truly came, to make him our Savior. So I'm just going to stop for a moment, and I'm going to ask you a question. A question that's perhaps the most important question that any of us can ever answer. And the question is, have you responded personally in your heart to the good news of Jesus? I want to know if you have made this message your own. Because I want you to hear the truth and to know the truth that Jesus came for you, that he died for you and for your sins on the cross so that you could be forgiven. And I want you to know that Jesus is still alive and he wants to be with you in your life right now. And if you want to make that your own today, you can. You can do that right now in this very moment. You can just take time to talk to God in prayer and tell him, you know, you're a sinner who needs a Savior. And that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God who died upon the cross in your place and he paid the price for your sin. And ask him to save you and to come into your life, come into your heart and transform you. And to bring to you the promise of hope and love and joy and peace that is now available to you because of him. And if you pray that prayer, believe that in your heart, it's yours. Because that's why Jesus came. He came to offer that to you and to every one of us. He came to be your Savior. And the best way to celebrate Christmas is to receive the gift of our Savior. And you know what? For those of you who've already made that choice, celebrate it. You know, think back to that moment in your life when you first believed and you first experienced that grace and that forgiveness and the hope. And remember how life-changing and transforming it was to you. And celebrate that. Because our response is to receive the good news and to live in it every day of our lives. But that's not where our response needs to end, because it's not just about receiving the gift. Because as we see in the shepherds' lives, it's also about sharing it. You know, the shepherds, once they had found Jesus, they didn't just keep the news to themselves. They went off and they told others the good news too. They made it known that Christ had come. And you know, One of the tragedies I see every year around Christmas time is that people are so close to understanding what Christmas is about, and yet they never bridge that gap. You know, they realize Christmas is the special time. I wish every day was Christmas. Like people are, you know, Christmas is, and yet they don't get it. You know, the other day I heard O Come, Emmanuel on a radio station that usually plays Guns N' Roses and Madonna, like, and other groups that are not from the 80s, because I'm old. You know, but millions of people will sing Christmas carols about a baby whose gift of salvation they don't truly understand. And they may even decorate their homes for Christmas. They may give gifts to their family and send cards to their friends. But in the midst of all those things, even with Christmas all around them, they don't know truly Christ for who he is, as the Savior and the Lord, because no one has ever told them. And it was the shepherds who became sort of the first evangelists, and they told the news to others about this Christ, the Savior who had been born. So don't keep the news to yourself. This Christmas, let the message of Christ be often on your lips, because that is the right response. And 2,000 years ago, Jesus was born in a stable in Bethlehem, and the message that the angels and the shepherds proclaimed that first Christmas night is still true today. And it's still a message that makes all the difference. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. Let's pray. Lord God, Lord, even as we heard today, for thousands upon thousands of years, since creation itself, you had been preparing the world for Christmas, preparing each and every moment for Christ to come. And Lord, I would ask that even now you would prepare our hearts as well. You know, as Christmas comes again, that Lord, we would be able to, in these moments, in these days, just slow down, take time to reflect on the good news that the Savior has been born to us. And that, Lord, we would make that truth our own by receiving that gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, but we'd also make it known to others so that they might share in the glory and the grace of God as well. And that, Lord, we would make that truth something we are not just doing once a year at Christmas time, but, Lord, it would make it a truth that we are living out every day, knowing that our Savior has come and he has changed our life. He has offered us forgiveness. He has offered us life, and life abundant and life everlasting. And that, Lord, we would live out the truth of Christmas until you come again and we see you in glory. Thank you for the good news of great joy for all people, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.